Welcome to the Never Settle podcast. My name is Mel Clark, and I am passionate about helping people realize that settling for second best is no longer an option, and that everyone deserves to live the life they truly desire. In episode 6, you get to meet the lovely, vibrant Megan Gibson, a friend of mine that lives out in Australia in the Gold Coast. Megan, after being married for 25 years, being in hairdressing for 25 years, knew that life had to change. She wanted bigger, she wanted better, and unfortunately her husband wasn't on the same page as her. Therefore, they started to move in different directions. As a life coach now, Megan is an inspiration, and I hope you really enjoy Megan's story. Okay, so hello, lovely listeners again. Today it's my great honor to have a friend, Megan Gibson, on the podcast today. Megan is, well, I'll let Megan describe what Megan does and where she's come from, but she's a very positive, bubbly, wonderful human being. And I think me and Megan are going to be working a bit closer together in the future, which I'm really excited about, because I'm looking to get into coaching. But this is about Megan, this isn't about me. So welcome, Megan. Thank you ever so much for your time today.
Thank you. I'm up and awake, ready.
Yeah. Bless Megan, it's 6 a.m. where she's from. Are you in the Gold Coast, Megan?
I am. I'm the Gold Coast, but it's winter and it only has to drop 2 degrees and we all put jumpers on. It's not actually that cold.
Well, it's boiling here at the moment, so it's a nice change. So, Megan, thanks again for coming on today. As you know, the theme of this podcast is about people who basically aren't prepared to settle in their life, in whatever that might be for them. So I suppose it would be great for you to give a bit of a backstory to the listeners in terms of, you know, where you've come from, where you are at. What is it? I mean, for me, there's been a lot of things that I've realized over the years, but, you know, what are the things or the thing that you realized you were settling for? So.
Where do I begin? Well, I think for me, I started settling a really long time ago for many reasons. The first sort of job I had coming out of high school was a hairdresser. And it's not that it wasn't something I was interested in or something that, you know, sparked my interest in terms of being inspired and wanting to be good at it and all that kind of stuff. It was something I was interested in for a long time, but I really only started that to get away from a situation that I was in high school that just couldn't continue. So it was my only out, really. But I did excel. Like, one of the things about me is if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it well. Even if, you know, you don't know you're settling. So even if you are, whatever I put my mind to, I've always given it my all. It's just who I am. I've come to realize my ripe old age, 42, that is who I am. I was a hairdresser for 25 years and I did a lot of other things in between that. I've had 3 children. I've got married. I've had businesses of my own. I've had a hairdressing salon of my own, in and around family and things like that. But I've always, considered myself or called myself a hairdresser. When really, and I look at who I actually identify as, I don't identify as that at all, for the reasons I gave as to why I started that career. So I was very successful. I've always had very happy clients and made many, many, many great friends who are still my friends through that industry. So I've never looked at it as upon being a bad choice or, you know, being something that I settled for and then regretted. But I know that if I'd stayed in high school, gone all the way through, that I would have made different choices. And I've often thought about where my life would have led. But that's not very healthy either, because our life's a journey. Yeah. So where I've ended up, and interestingly enough, what I do now is I am actually I call myself a personal coach, a coach of individuals, helping them to understand at the core who they are. And then mastering identifying with that and aligning with that in terms of, you know, what their values are and, you know, what they're here to do and what they're here to set out and envision the world to be for themselves. And so, you know, obviously I've done that work for myself and now coaching others. I've been doing that for about 6 years. I can't say I've been excelling at that for 6 years. I've been refining those skills, right, as we do in any career. I've got to the point now where I fundamentally believe that's how we make the best choices. And whenever I find myself now, in recent times, something more major where I realized I wasn't happy was my relationship, which was also 25 years long. I just realized I wasn't happy there completely. I was not happy, but there was, it's like what you say, you know, once you know, you can't unknow.
Yeah.
And it just comes down to an alignment of that vision and an alignment of those values that I know to be true, and how I identify with them now is very different than how I identified with them when I first uncovered them. I've learned to master using those things as rudders to try and, you know, figure out the best way forward out of those situations where you realize, you know, shit, excuse my French, I'm not happy. Yeah, I guess that kind of sums up everything I've done and some of the things I've settled for. We can dig into more of them if you want, Mel.
If in terms of your relationship, how sort of was there a defining moment in terms of you realizing that you weren't happy, or was it a gradual over the years thing? I mean, 25 years is a long time to be with somebody, especially when you're only 42. So you were young when you.
I was very young.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, I appreciate that, you know, God, we massively changed, don't we, from our teens to our 20s to our 30s to especially our 40s seems to be a pivotal time for a lot of people. So what was it that sort of got you from being probably very happy in the early days to all of a sudden realizing that you weren't happy or that you were settling? What was it? Was there anything in particular?
Well, I'm going to say it was a similar journey to my career, to be honest. Situation I found myself in around that time. I took on a new job and then within 6 months met my husband. And, you know, it obviously, like, it was good for a long time. But where I've realized in reflection is it's a very similar journey. Things are happening at home, and you know, he was this beacon of light that just came in and, you know, swooped me away from all of that. And while we were happy for a long time, and you know, I probably would still to a degree be happy, let's be real, like, we're talking about not settling, not being miserable, right? I just kind of realized how different we were. And some of those differences started to, over time, prevent, or I found myself choosing between what I really wanted to do and what I should do based on who we were together.
Right.
And some of the things I want to do are big things. You know, we only have one life and I give everything my all. And, you know, I'm someone who's quite comfortable being uncomfortable, happy taking risks. To a degree, obviously, calculated risks or strategic risks. And he became somebody over, because of circumstances he found himself in over the years, which I supported him through, as you do in any marriage, found himself to be somebody who was quite uncomfortable with those things. And so that really drove us, you know, in different directions within our relationship. And you have a choice at the end of the day. You know, you can continue down that road and try and come back, and or you can, I guess I kind of had that realization eventually over sort of a year that I was like, if I stay, I'm going to just have more of the same. And is that what I want? And is that aligned with where I want to go? I guess that's kind of where it got to for me. It wasn't this big, horrible, you know, dramatic ending. In fact, we still talk nearly daily about the kids and things like that. But I really wanted to be able to do that, to make that decision and make that choice from a place of love rather than a place of resentment, you know.
When you were going through, because obviously you've got three kids, when you were feeling the way you were feeling, how did that play out in terms of your trying to make a decision anyway? Because it's not easy, because I've been there myself, and you know, you've got somebody else or other people to think of. So did that sort of stunt you for a while, do you think?
Oh yeah. I mean, let's be fair. Like, no one wants to see their family. I've went through that myself as a child twice. And that's definitely something that's held me in place for a long time, just that, let alone having my own children. So, you know, it depends, I think, too, on what ages they're at, what they're going through, things like that. I've got one son who doesn't cope with change, never has. So that also played on my mind. So yeah, you have to consider so many factors, and they do keep you in place, to answer your question, for sure.
Yeah.
And for me, I just kind of went, well, I want them to see the real me. I want them to see me being the fullest version of myself. That's what I want for anyone I sit in front of and coach, is for them to feel like that's who they can be in the world. And I just didn't feel like that's who I was being or could be where I was. But I wanted them to have that mum, that example, because that's what I want for them. That makes sense?
Yeah. So since the, since obviously you've been, you made the decision and you left, how, I know when I did it, it's never as bad in reality as it is in your mind.
Oh yeah.
Because kids adapt really quickly. And they're surprising as well, you know. So did you find that with your kids? Was it a kind of, you know, obviously they would have been sad about it, but how have they sort of
They've all handled it differently. Some of them not surprised. I don't sound like I've got six, I've got three. so yeah, like the older, the boys are older, you know, they're nearly adults themselves to a degree. Like the oldest one's 18. October, and then I have another one that's 16 next month. So they struggled, because I guess they've got to a point where they just thought that's how things were. But when I got talking to them individually on their own, you know, they saw what we didn't think they were seeing, which is hard to hear, but you know, we'll do our best to protect our children from everything that we don't want them to know. And then my daughter, she's 12 and she's been phenomenal. I mean, she's a bit of an old soul anyway, to be honest, but she just wants everyone to be happy. And she's constantly checking on me almost daily, even when she's not here, just check how my day's been, how I'm feeling. You know, she'll look at me and she'll see I'm having a bit, you know, don't quite look as, you know, bright and chirpy as normal. And she'll just ask, how you doing, mum? Like very, very, very perceptive. So she has surprised me, but then I'm not surprised, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess I'm surprised to see her being so wise at such a young age. But I always knew it was there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so you've had differing reactions and differing conversations, but ultimately they all knew that you weren't happy and that they want you to be happy.
Both of us, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they've noticed a difference in both of us as well, especially Grace. She's very forthcoming, so you know, she notices how even, especially her dad, doing things that he hasn't, you know, allowed himself to do for a long time. And that makes me happy, because that's all I ultimately want for anyone. So, you know, I've definitely found that people who haven't seen me for a long time have told me that I look different, which is weird. but I, you know, I have that spark back in my eye, and, you know, I'm going after things that I've wanted to do for a long time that I haven't, which is, you know, obviously that puts a spark back in your eye anyway, doesn't it? Being doing a new thing. Mm. Yeah. So that's been nice.
So in terms of where you're at now, I mean, obviously, you know, you took the decision about your relationship, work-wise, and I know some of what you're up to, but how's that sort of changed for you from the hairdressing? So when did you stop the hairdressing?
I think I did my last client, for want of a better word, salon or otherwise, probably about 18 months ago.
Okay.
So not, yeah, yeah. I always had someone who was, you know, hanging on there, hoping that I would just continue forever. Yeah.
So I didn't realize it was that soon, actually. I thought you stopped quite a while back. And I know, obviously, that you've been involved with SFM, as have I, in terms of you looked for alternatives. So
yes.
What sort of drove that in terms of, obviously, you were hairdressing a few years ago full time. What was the sort of kickstart, I suppose, that drove you into looking for something different for your career?
Yeah. Do you know what, Mel? I think I've always been looking for something different. It's something I settled for a really long time, but for practical reasons. Like I was quite proud recently. My oldest one, he came, we were talking about what he was going to do. When I said recent, you know, in the last sort of 2 years, what he was going to do for work. And he said he decided on an apprenticeship because he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. But he said, this was a really proud moment for me, he said, "I've always seen you fall back on that, and it's always been something you could go back to in life when I've needed to." And he said, "And I think that that's the wisest, the best thing he could do at the moment is to use this time to create something like that he can fall back on while he's figuring out what he wants to do." So he's like a year into an apprenticeship and he's loving it. But I'll definitely make sure that he doesn't settle if he doesn't love it forever. So for me, like I've pretty much have always had it on the, you know, in sort of side mind, I guess, that I would be looking for something else. So I've done many things. So the first time was when I had my second son. I actually started taking photos of babies in hospitals, like newborn babies. And I loved that. It was something different. It was, you know, a new environment. But again, it wasn't. It was just something to get me away from, you know, having to go and stand on my feet all day and do hair. I did that. And then not long after that, I started a Tupperware business and excelled in that. I did that for about 6 years. And that's really where I found my love of what I do now, which is helping people succeed, helping people reach their potential, helping them get out of their own way in terms of being sort of in that sort of mentor role. So I was one of their top managers for about half of that time. And, you know, I just found that I knew I wasn't going to keep hairdressing, but whenever I've needed, because there have been times, as we all know, as we get, you know, go through life where I've needed extra income, I've fallen back on it or just being able to get a job like the next day and walk into a salon and pick up my scissors. It's been great. But I think I always had that need for something more. But all along the way, as you can see, like we develop skills and we develop, you know, ways of being and things that help us figure out what that is. And for me, like it's always been people. Always been, you know, working with people and talking to people. And what do hairdressers do? You should have a counseling degree, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I never regretted it, but I've always been looking for whatever it was I was going to do. So to answer your question, like by the time I got round to looking into sort of SFM and on that online path, there was a situation at home that I really needed to be at home for, but all I needed to earn, we'll be doing something. And I don't even know what it was that sparked my attention in the end. It was just, I think it was, I really resonated with the person that I came across who was a mum as well, who had stepped into these new skills that she'd never, you know, thought she'd be able to do. And her story I just resonated with it. And here I am now. Like it's been a journey, 6 years, but yeah, that's a long answer to your question, but.
No, that's cool. No, it's just interesting. For one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast was because, you know, I've settled myself, and probably I still was, you know, in the career, which has just changed because I'm being made redundant. And it's funny because all of a sudden these other opportunities have opened up in front of me, which I feel I needed to kick up the ass basically to get me out of that that comfortable state. And even though I knew I was not happy and settling, the fear factor of not having that wage, you know, coming in to pay the bills that I've, you know, we all increase our outgoings, don't we? And you get yourself in, you get yourself stuck. And I've tried, like yourself, tried lots of different things, and I'm still plugging away. But I suppose, you know, for the listeners, really,
I
the reason why I wanted to do this podcast is because, you know, I see so many people settling in lots of things, and I myself included, and I just think it's really beneficial, like you said, you know, you like helping people. This is very beneficial, I believe, for people to hear other people's stories, to understand what triggered their decisions, you know, what their life situation is. Like you said, that young mum you resonated with. I think it's really important for people to have those little defining moments or those little light bulbs that go off. For them to then start to really think about how they might be able to change their life. And not be scared about what may or may not happen, because the thoughts are always worse than the reality, and that's happened all throughout my life. It's always worse in my mind than it ever is in reality. And you think people are going to lose the plot and get angry and scream and shout, and it doesn't really happen. Well, it might do for some people, but it hasn't for me. You know, there's been a lot of
it's not the norm.
Hey,
it's not the norm.
Yeah. So I think, you know, in terms of just getting an understanding really of where you were with your hairdressing, and then SFM for 6 years, but you've been doing coaching as well, and the relationship, and, you know, it's like just trying to give them something to really think, right, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you, sorry, you were going to say something.
No, go. You ahead, ask a question.
I was going to say, what would you, if you were, if there was one thing you could say from your experience or experiences, if there's one thing that you could say that you think would help somebody that might be sat there thinking, I feel trapped, I don't know what to do, I'm going to break his heart, I'm going to break her heart, I can't upset the kids, you know, any of those things, What would you want to say to somebody that might be sort of sitting in silence at the moment?
It's interesting you say that particular thing, because I've thought about it a lot. What would I say to somebody? Well, what would I say to myself 12 months ago? It's probably the best way to answer it. And, you know, at the end of the day, what made me find the courage, I guess, was just to take the first step. I can't say that I, you know, just threw everything away and just was like, that's it.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, I just had to stop the train. Like, this train's not going where I want it to, for want of a better metaphor. I need to stop it here so that I can think. And so that was the first conversation. It's just like, I'm not happy. This is not going where I want to go. Where I want to go, I need to. And I literally use that as that language, I think.
Yeah.
And that just gave me time to really think. And then, like, that was sort of step one. And then there was just like space, right? Suddenly there was just space for me to step into and just kind of look around and, okay, well, that wasn't so bad, you know. But I think for me, I think the best advice I could give, or the best thing I would have said, was if you're not happy, no one around you is going to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not feeling like you can be everything you want to be, that's probably not going to change unless you change something, change yourself. And so for me, it was like, well, no one's getting the best of me. I'm not getting the best of me. I'm not happy. That's not who I am or what I'm about. It's not what I coach others on, for sure. For me, it's a big, like one of, you know, one of the big things as well is like, if you're going to be in a role, you need to be walking that talk. You know, if you're going, you wouldn't go to a fat PT, right? Personal trainer to get fit. Some people might, but I wouldn't. Like I, you know, so to me, it was like that, there was that sense of personal responsibility as well in terms of, you know, really being who I am in every area. And so, yeah, I guess that light bulb moment for me was that I wasn't doing, didn't feel like I was in alignment with that. And also that I wasn't getting the best out of me because I wasn't being my best. I didn't feel like I could. And so that meant my children weren't, that meant my husband wasn't. That's not fair on him either. Let's be real. Like it's two people in a relationship. So yeah, I think that was the defining thing for me at the end, putting myself in a position where I could be who I am, be who I want to be.
But it started with that first step of basically getting some space.
Yeah, just creating. Yeah, stopping things from moving is the best way to put it, you know. It's like, well, let the people, the immediate people know, which was obviously in this instance, my partner, and then make a decision from that place rather than from this place of desperation and fear and all the things that are there before you open your mouth. And I mean, it's the same with career as well, you know. Changing careers, like you said, losing the paycheck, whatever, like it's when you think about it, like that's a huge decision where you don't have anything else. So sometimes it's best to go, well, what do I want to do, and sort of start. So it's a similar answer.
How did you create the space with your husband, especially? Did you move out?
This is just a conversation.
Okay.
Literally a conversation. A very real conversation. Honest about everything that I was feeling. And then there was about 6 weeks where I was definitely going to move out, get my own space, and, you know, just try and actually do life, see if it was even possible to do on my own. Never done it on my own. But I'm quite proud of how well I've been able to navigate the last 12 months. And yeah, like it's not that hard. Like you're right. It's once you're on the other side of it, it's like, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. Like I can do this. I'm actually moving forward a lot faster than I was before. Because the things that were holding you back, most of them are yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so easy to stay, and we get more and more and more resentful blaming the other person when really, or blaming the job or whatever it is we're selling for, when really it's just like, well, kind of in your own way, love. Like it's you. So it's just taking that step and just, yeah, doing the first thing. But a conversation was definitely the first step.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, I think my love, I think we'll bring it to a close, because I really appreciate what you've shared there, because it covers, you know, you think about what people settle for, and it could be anything, but the biggies are always relationships and careers, aren't they? And that's exactly what you just talked about. And I think, you know, just in my immediate circle of friends and family or whatever, you know, I see it all the time, and it frustrates the hell out of me. But then I was doing it, and still was doing it recently with my job, you know. Telling myself that I needed to, because it's just me paying the bills. It's, you know, I can't just throw it away, and then you've got other people's fear around you as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And I always wanted to say, like, the universe got my back, and I've got to trust and let, you know, and that's bloody hard to do. And I've been pushed into it now. And as I said, these opportunities came to me literally within 24 hours. And I was like, wow, okay, this shit really does work.
Mel, do you know what? I want to just add one quick thing if I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's that, you know, especially with what with the shoes I wear in terms of career and where I want to go with that. And that is that even when we're settling or when we realize we're settling, it doesn't mean that you have to throw away everything that you have. And definitely feel like that wasn't what I set out to, you know, I didn't set out to call it quits or whatever, even in career. But sometimes that's the way it goes. And sometimes you create what we know as a wake-up moment for someone, right? Or for, be that for your boss, if you're unhappy and you go there and, you know, they're like, well, hang on a second, like, what can we do to make you feel like you're not settling, which is what we're talking about. And the same can be for a relationship. It just, you know, it's something that changes what's there. So for me, it went the way that it did, but I definitely feel like for some people, you know, it can be the difference between things staying the way they are and things changing to where they don't feel like they're settling anymore. So I just wanted to add that because it's something that I'm really conscious of moving forward in terms of being an example for people who are in my situation.
Yeah.
I don't want them to feel like that's their only option.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, so yeah, I just wanted to add that. Sometimes I feel like that's kind of, you know, what people think. They think, oh, well, you know, not happy, so I have to leave. It's not always the case.
Yeah, no, that's really good. That's a really good point. Because I think when I went through it myself, you know, and then I see other people that are not happy and I think, I was thinking, you've got to get out. But actually, everybody's relationship is different and they may have something much bigger that they can salvage and grow from. So yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like, I guess where I was coming from at the time was hoping that he would decide not to settle. Right. And then together we would go from that, from there. But, you know, and I feel like that maybe I'm maybe starting to see that happen, which is great. Yeah. But I've moved so far from where I was that, you know, probably won't change now, but never say never. But yeah, like, you know, I guess there's that wake up moment there for everybody where we realize, you know, we could be more or have more. So yeah, like, I think it's a good point to make at the end there. For me anyway, it's something I'm very, very aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Megan. Really appreciate your time today. And if people want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Well, I am very much in a transition stage at the moment. So a lot of my online presence is exactly that, in transition. But the best place to find me on a more regular basis is on Instagram, because that is my preferred platform. So yeah, the Megs Gibson. I couldn't have Megs Gibson. Someone had that one. So it's the Megs Gibson.
The Megs. Well, of course. Okay, that's brilliant. And thank you again, Megan, for giving us your insight today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the space, Mel.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode and perhaps the story resonated with your own life or reminded you that perhaps you're also settling for second best. I've been helping people from a young age and realising that there is more to life than what they are currently settling for. My desire is to give others the love to confidently and respectfully know their value so that they feel joy and are empowered to make a fulfilling difference. If that sounds good to you and you'd like to reach out and connect, you can find me at facebook.com/Mel Clark Coaching, that's Clark with an E, or instagram.com/Mel Clark Coaching. Enjoy your day.